I'm Lucy, and I'll be doing the Bible reading tonight, and it's from 3 John, the whole of 3 John, which can be found in the Pew Bibles on page 1233. Three John, the elder, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, just as you are progressing spiritually. It gave me great joy when some believers came and testified about your faithfulness to the truth, telling how you continue to walk in it. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church about your love. Please send them on their way in a manner that honors God. It was for the sake of the name that they went out, receiving no help from the pagans. We ought, therefore, to show hospitality to such people so that we may work together for the truth. I wrote to the church, but dear Trophimus, who loves to be the first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I will call attention to what he is doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church. Dear friends, do not imitate what is evil, but do what is good. Anyone who does what is good is from God. Anyone who does what is evil has not seen God. Demetrius is well spoken of by everyone, and even by the truth itself. We also speak well of him, and you know that our testimony is true. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to do so with the pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends here send their greetings. Greet the friends there by name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thanks, Lucy. Welcome, everyone. My name's Owen, as Kaz was saying before. I'm one of the trainees here, and I'm helping to hold the fort while Prash and Al are both away, as well as Kaz. Kaz has been doing a good job. This is, you know, she's been doing three services solo today, so let me pray as we dig into God's word tonight. Our kind Father, we thank you that you speak to us and you've given us the Bible so that we might hear and know you. But we do pray, help us not to just be hearers of your word, but doers. Amen. Now, the Tour de France is not an individual's sport. I don't know if you knew this. It's a team race. And for most parts, cycling is actually a team race. I don't know, maybe this is new news to you. But if you're not familiar with it, these big cycling events, they go in teams, right? So the Tour de France, it's teams of eight. And within the team are jersey contenders. But then there's all these things, which I had to double check how you even say this, called domestiques. So these riders called domestiques, whose job it is to support the team. And what really fascinates me about cycling is that a lot of these domestiques, they can be crazy good cyclists, but they sacrifice for the team. You see, it's not their job to win. Their job is to get someone else over the line. There was some really fantastic footage of Geraint Thomas, the 2018 Tour de France winner this week. I think I've got a picture for you as well. You see, he had a crash. We got it up there? Oh, yeah, great. He had a crash earlier in the week, and what's fantastic about it is, you know, another rider slid into Team Ineos, and you can kind of see in the picture, right, two of the other riders, the domestiques, have abandoned their own bicycles to push start him. And then the other two that are waiting up front, they're waiting back because it's now their job. So Geraint Thomas is the yellow jersey contender, right? And so it's their job to get him as close to back to the front of the pack as they can. And when Gerard Thomas was asked about this in the post kind of day interview, he didn't put it down to his own skill and training as a rider, but he said it was the strength of his team that got him nearly to the front of the pack. And cycling is this great team effort. The team works together. They race together. They recover. They eat. They repeat this for 23 days. But just as cycling is a team effort, so gospel work is a team effort. And this is what we primarily see in our passage today. You see, the book of 3 John is a letter enlisting support. This is presumably written by John to a friend named Gaius. And John's main request here is for support, for provision, but not for John, for other Christians who've been traveling and staying with Gaius. John mentions them in verse 3 when he says, "The brothers, tell me about your faithfulness." And so John enlists Gaius's help because gospel work is a team effort. And we see this great positive example of when the team works well. But what we also see in 3 John is an example of when it doesn't work. So we're gonna look at this in a little bit of detail, and I think this is really important for us because for us here at St. James, we encounter lots of Christians. We actually work with lots of Christians, not just here, but also all around the world. And it helps us as we think about how we serve, but then also how we work alongside each other at church. So let's get into it. Now, you've got a blank page on your outline. It doesn't have any kind of notes or headings in it, but I'm going to be working off 2 points. The first point is going to be teamwork in action. And then my second point is refusing to work as a team. And I'm going to spend about equal time on both. So let's get into it. So teamwork in action. Now, one of the big difficulties with understanding this letter is that it's quite a specific letter. So it's written into a very specific situation. And the problem that we have is that we're not Gaius. And so a lot of these different details go over our head. And it can be a little bit difficult piecing them together. But one of the significant details that I want to focus your attention on is these brothers and sisters. Like I said, John mentions them in verse 3, and then they come back again in verse 5. John says, "Dear friend, you are faithful in what you are doing for the brothers and sisters." And we're not exactly sure what they're doing, but they're involved in some kind of gospel work. Look at verse 7. It was for the sake of the name that they went out. So I've decided to call this gospel work. Other people said that this is probably something like missionary work. But when John says that it was for the sake of the name, he's talking about the name of Jesus. In Luke 24, verses 46 to 47, Jesus says, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." This is the gospel, that Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and this news is preached to all nations in Jesus' name. So these brothers and sisters, they're busy at work teaching and preaching the good news about Jesus. And Gaius is supporting them in that. But what's really remarkable about Gaius' support is that these people are strangers. Do you notice that? Verse 5, "Dear friends, you're faithful in what you're doing for the brothers and sisters, even though they are strangers to you." Gaius doesn't know them, but yet he's taken them in anyway. And I think this is a remarkable detail because when I think of myself and my own experience, I know that I am far more likely to show generosity, support, care to people that I know. And I did a bit of research, and research in the UK even confirms this. There was some research done back in 2011, and they found they were looking at factors influencing why people give to which charities. And one of the things that they found was that people tend to have a desire to help others that they feel some affinity with. That is, people that they know or that they can associate with, that, you know, that are like them. People are driven by a desire to help others they have feel some affinity with. But yet Gaius here is helping strangers. So why then, if they're strangers, why would Gaius help them? Why would we help people that are strangers? And the big reason here seems to be that these brothers and sisters are working for the name. So it says in verse 8, "We ought therefore to show hospitality to such people so that they may work, so that we may work together for the truth." You see, he was providing for them where they didn't have support, and it was honoring God, but primarily it is because they are working for the name about Jesus, the name of Jesus. It's about working together for the truth of the gospel. So then it doesn't actually matter whether or not we or Gaius have a personal relationship with them, because the thing that brings us together, brings Gaius and these brothers and sisters together, is the efforts and support, is the joint goal of working for the truth. Now, for us here at 7 p.m., this is important, right? It can be really easy for us to feel disconnected from many of our ministry partners, from many of the people that we support. And there's lots of people here at church, there's lots of people around the world even, that we support here at St. James. A few weeks ago, we had a missionary visit night at Growth Group. And if you're part of a growth group, maybe you have one of these ministry partners visit. Well, did it feel like they were a little bit of a stranger to you? Maybe you hadn't met them before. Maybe you've only seen their face. Well, it's not that we want them to be strangers. It's kind of why we have the missionary visit night, is so that you can get to know them. But the very nature of working for the gospel and maybe going somewhere else to do it means that we might not get to know them as much as we like. But then we want to make sure that in feeling disconnected or feeling like maybe they are a little bit of a stranger, we want to make sure that that doesn't then get in the way of us supporting them. They need our support, and we should support them, because like we find in 3 John, the gospel is work that we do together. And actually, there's a positive spin to this as well, because it's a great privilege that we get to work together like this. You see, of the ministry partners that we've got lots, so I'm going to name a few, but it's not an extensive list. You look at the Reeves in Albania, or the Dijongs in West Asia, maybe Quizworks, and you look at that and you go, wow, that's great work. That's exciting. We have the privilege of being part of that work because we get to work together. We pray for them. We can even financially support them. We can encourage them. And so if there's anything that you do from tonight, I want to say, if you've been meaning to sign up to a prayer letter, if you've been meaning to support some of our ministry partners financially, this is a good chance. I'd encourage you to do it. It is a valuable contribution to the team that we're all part of working for the gospel. And by working together, it's not like we're working for the name of the Reeves or the Dijongs or Quizworks. This is work for the sake of Jesus' name. It is work for the truth of the gospel. And so you see, we support and provide for gospel workers because gospel work is done together. But we do see a very different side of this, actually. It's something that we often feel, and it comes because we as humans we're competitive. We have a competitive drive, and this is a problem, and this is a problem that John has encountered. You see, Gaius here is showing great faithfulness and great love for the brothers and supporting them, but this isn't actually John's first letter. He mentions a very different letter in verse 9 because he's written a letter of support before, but this one has ended up in the hands of a man named Diotrephes. Now, Diotrephes, he's in a prominent position within this church. So, I mean, he probably has quite quite the opportunity to be supporting these Christian brothers and sisters. But he has this significant sway over this church. And look at what it says in verses 9 and 10. John writes, "I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to be first, will not welcome us. So when I come, I'll call attention to what he's doing, spreading malicious nonsense about us. Not satisfied with that, he even refuses to welcome other believers. He also stops those who want to do so and puts them out of the church." John's been facing opposition from Diotrephes. If we list some of these things that he's doing, he's refusing to welcome John. He doesn't want anything to do with John, quite a well-known, well-respected Christian leader. He seems to be circulating rumors to even discredit John. Says that he's spreading malicious nonsense. But John says he's not even satisfied with that either. He refuses to welcome other Christians and is even trying to protect his little community by throwing out anyone who wants to welcome them as well. Diotrephes here is trying to stop people from treading on his turf. See, he doesn't want to work together. He is deeply competitive. And before I said the gospel should be like working on a team, like that cycling team, you know, pushing someone up the hill or whatever it is, it shouldn't be like trying to sell a product. You see, if you're trying to sell a product, you're trying to outdo your competitors. Say, for instance, you're selling computers, right? You're in direct competition with anyone else who sells computers. There was a very famous ad campaign run by Apple back in the mid-2000s. Maybe you can remember it. It had two men that stood side by side. One was in relaxed-looking clothing. The other one was in kind of this stiff, uptight-looking business attire, and one, the relaxed one, would go, "Hi, I'm a Mac." And the other one would go, "And I'm a PC." And they would have these short, polite, but kind of weird interactions that were all based around dismantling Microsoft's credibility. They portrayed Microsoft computers as being boring. They said that they weren't secure. They even accused Microsoft of blowing all their money on advertising. And I mean, it was a successful but kind of weird ad campaign. And I guess it's fine for a competitive industry like advertising, but gospel work shouldn't be like that. You are not competing against other Christians. And I mean, it's weird to think about this in terms of people that we might send overseas or whatever. But I think it's much easier to feel competitive with people that are close to home. And so we feel this in little ways, maybe around St. James. Do you ever feel like you're jostling to be liked or respected within your service team? Or are you after a position or a role in church that means you're admired or where you can be seen to be involved? Here's one for you. We have a vision of St. James, you know, growing St. James in number. We would love to see 7 p.m. hit 200 people, whatever it is. But you know what? I sometimes think about that, and I love being part of a big church, a significant church in the area. I want people to go, "Oh, yeah, St. James. I know St. James. You're part of that church. St. John's, Ashfield, what? Who?" And, you know, our problem is that the same as Diotrephes' problem. We're competitive. And look at it in verse 9. Diotrephes, what does it say? Diotrephes, who loves to be first. This is the root of competitiveness. And what's worse is that instead of working for the sake of Jesus' name, Diotrephes finds himself working for the sake of his own name. And so it's no wonder that actually, Diotrephes doesn't want to support or provide for gospel workers. I mean, they're treading on his turf. They're coming into his little area. But actually, Diotrephes isn't concerned about people hearing the gospel about Jesus. And so, are we concerned about the work of the gospel, doing that together? Or is it, do Do we feel that competitiveness? Do we kind of jostle against each other as we work for what is a common goal, the work of the gospel? So as we kind of wrap this all up, as we bring it together, one little note on humility. John goes on to say, this is verse 11, dear friend, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. And John gives us this, he gives us this recommendation of a man named Demetrius. Now, again, specific letter, we know nothing of Demetrius. And actually gives us nothing to really imitate of Demetrius. But as we think about what it means to serve and support people for the sake of the gospel, I think what we want is a kind of humility. It takes an awful lot of humility to sacrifice, to support, to provide for people. I think, like I was saying, sometimes more humility to support people at home than even support people abroad. And what we have is the great example of Jesus. Matthew 20, 28 says, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. See, Jesus wasn't competitive. He washed feet. He loved, provided for others when it wasn't convenient for him. And Jesus died for people. So this is our example of serving and supporting each other as we work together for the truth of the gospel. So let's do that. Let me pray. Kind Father, we thank you that your desire is for people to know you, to know the great love of Jesus, and you want us to work for that with each other. Help us to put away all ambition, selfishness. Help us to put on the kind of humility that we need to do this work together and support those who are involved in gospel ministry. Amen.